Just let me hear some of that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it, it's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it, gotta be rock and roll music if you wanna dance with me.
Hey, you're listening to Frank Morano on AM 970 The Answer with you until 4 o'clock this morning. You know, if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know that from the time I was old enough to hear, the thing that I've been most obsessed with is radio. Listening to it from the time I was a little boy, I dreamed of being on it. And finally, I have met, and we as an audience have met, a man that is as passionate about the medium of radio, particularly talk, as I am. The one and only Michael Harrison, the publisher of Talkers Magazine. Michael, first of all, I know how late it is, and I know as a radio person how early you start the day, so I really appreciate you coming on with me.
Yeah, you know, you're the one in danger. Who knows what I might say at this point of the day. But actually, I'm wide awake and really happy to be with you. And I love hearing people talk about loving radio. And do you remember the first time you were on, like the first moment that you were on the radio when the microphone opened and what it felt like?
I remember my first time as a caller, and then I absolutely, like it was yesterday, remember my first time being on as a member of a radio station. Yeah, both vividly.
That's something that, you know, people that are in this industry and people who had the chance to be, you know, professional radio broadcasters always remember their first time on the air. Very, very exciting moment.
Now, you are, first of all, you sound great. You were a DJ. You sound as good as anyone else that's on the radio on AM or FM. How does one get into the field of being a radio journalist, and particularly a publication like Talkers, which is kind of like the gospel of all radio trade publications?
Well, you're very kind. It's an interesting thing. I was a broadcaster. I still am, to a degree, a broadcaster. I consider myself in radio. I have a background as a DJ, as a program director, as a guy that was very into the music, also a fan. I started to write about radio for the industry because I wanted to be able to influence the industry about things that I thought it should be doing. I didn't see myself as a radio journalist. As a matter of fact, I don't see myself as a journalist now. I just see myself as a publisher and a writer, and we're kind of journalistic, but it's not true journalism. I don't even know if there is journalism anymore, but we do try to be journalistic. But I just started writing columns in the trades and started to get strong following. We're talking many, many years ago. We're talking the early 1970s.
Wow.
I had this dual career going, which I think I basically have had it my whole career, where I was broadcasting and being, as you say, a trade journalist, something that I've done for decades. Along the way, I've been managing editor of Radio and Records. I was one of its original designers. I've worked at Billboard magazine as their radio columnist and redesigned their charts, their music charts, back in the 80s, in the early 80s. At the same time, I was a program director of KMET and doing a talk show in Los Angeles. And I was even, at one time,
the janitor at a radio station.
I was the morning host at WNEW-FM, 1971 and 1972.
That was 102.7, right?
Yeah,
that's wild.
Back in the underground days.
That is wild. For some people that are listening, even some people that really love radio, they may not be familiar with Talkers. How would you describe Talkers?
It's a trade publication. Trade publication for people that work in the business. It is to talk radio what Billboard magazine is to the music industry, or Variety is to the film industry. We're an industrial trade publication. We are written basically for people who are professional broadcasters.
Now, come Tuesday, the list that everybody who works in radio is unveiled, the Talkers Heavy 100.
Yes.
What's the Heavy 100, and how do you get on it?
The Heavy 100, well, you have to be heavy. heavy as
that explains why Rush has been number one so often.
He's been number one forever. And whether he'll be number one Tuesday, I cannot say, because I can't reveal the secret, you know, open the envelope, please. But the Heavy 100 is a sort of a catchphrase for the real title of the feature. It's called The 100 Most Important Radio Talk Show Hosts in America. And it's based upon a number of subjective and objective, qualified and quantified determinations. And it's sort of the gold standard of, you know, who's who in the talk radio business. And for our editorial board, It's a tremendous pressure putting this out every year.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine. Now, in the run-up to the Heavy 100 unveiling, do you have kind of mid-market talk show hosts who could be on the borderline sending you all sorts of stuff and trying to schmooze you and totally politicking?
To a certain degree. This is not an industry of people who are humble or quiet. You know, I mean, if you've ever seen an industry with so many large egos and, you know, self-confident people, this is it. So yeah, there are people that do that, and it's hard. You know, we do admit that it is arguable. We don't claim that it's quantitative. We don't say these are the 100 best. We don't say they're the 100 biggest. We say they're the 100 most important. It's harder to explain what that means. So we get people calling us and going, I've been listening to so-and-so for 30 years in, you know, some small city.
Sure.
And why didn't you mention him or her? And we take a lot of heat.
I can imagine. I can imagine. We're talking to Michael Harrison of Talkers Magazine. Now, Michael, the Talkers edition that you guys put out on Thursday included a wonderful, wonderful piece in which you expressed your opinion about, to some degree, about the state of and future of radio. And it had to do with a survey of radio station owners and general managers that found that 41% of them identified either internet access or something else as a threat to their product in cars. Tell us, what was that survey and what was your reaction to it?
It was a survey of radio station owners and managers, asking them what they consider to be the biggest threat to what's called terrestrial radio, meaning AM and FM radio. And 41% said internet in the car. You know, the digital dashboard. And then after that, there was Pandora. And after that, I think there was YouTube satellite radio and all these other things. Of course, you know, internet in the car also brings you Pandora.
Sure, right.
So, even satellite radio is on the internet as well for some of its subscribers who are willing to sign up for that. Point being, there's a huge concern that the internet, once it gets into cars, it could be the death knell of AM and FM radio, because the automobile is sort of the primary listening chamber. It's the place where, you know, radio rules. People don't, maybe they don't listen to radio as much in their homes or at work as they used to. You don't see people walking around with transistor radios or boomboxes. You see them walking around with
iPods,
MP3 players, and little earbuds, listening to the either the internet or podcasts. This is a big fear. And I guess what you liked was what I said. That
I love this. And you said the interests, you said, quote, the interests of radio broadcasters would be better served if we stopped obsessing on which outside, quote unquote, threats to our platform were the most dangerous, and begin to realize that we ourselves pose the biggest threat to our medium by not using the best and only weapon available to counter that threat, better and unique programming. I slammed my hand on my desk and shouted hallelujah when you said that.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, the fact of the matter is, there are other platforms, there are other vehicles, other media. They're here to stay. It's the 21st century. It's only going to get more competitive, and eventually everything will be wired to everything. For AM and FM to survive, or to at least extend its longevity, there's only one thing it can do. There's only one thing. There's nothing. It doesn't matter how many Facebook likes DJs or talk show hosts have. It doesn't matter how many internet shows you do, or streaming or podcasts. AM and FM radio have got to have the absolute best programming available anywhere, of any audio medium, just as Yankee Stadium and Madison Square Garden have got to have the best athletes and the best sporting events, and not worry that there are sandlot baseballs and college stadiums and high school gymnasiums all over the country.
Right.
They have got to be major league. Broadway has got to have the best plays and the best actors, and not worry that there's community theater all over the country. And for AM and FM to survive in the 21st century, it has to totally focus on having the best programming, and on top of that, have unique programming that you cannot get on the internet.
As a radio listener, as somebody that follows the medium, certainly not as closely as you, but more closely than most people, I am of the opinion that that radio in general, but specifically talk, the quality of what's on has gone down, and the uniqueness of what's gone on is significantly diminished. Do you share that view?
Yeah, I do. And the reason for that is the unfortunate financial situation that the radio industry is in, and that is debt. The AM and FM stations, for the most part, are deeply smothered by debt that was accrued during the 90s and the first decade of the 21st century when we had consolidation, deregulation, consolidation, easy money. As a result, the prices went up. Big companies borrowed, got deeper in debt, bought tons of radio stations, and now that the time has changed and that the stations are facing all kinds of competition and the debts are due and the economy is a little bit sluggish and advertising is harder to come by, they have to pump all their resources into paying the debt, cutting back, letting people go, having more people work at more fewer people working at more stations, voice tracking for DJs. As a result, getting rid of news departments. As a result, the product is not all the way across the board. There are good things out there, but by and large, it's not as good, and it's certainly not as unique. And at the same time that's happening, there's all this new competition. So that's the problem.
So given the economic reality, do you see any way that stations are going to turn that around anytime soon?
I don't know. I am hopeful. I certainly use whatever influence we have with Talkers Magazine. I also publish a music radio trade, Radio Info, so we're very concerned about the music stations as well. We do everything we can to encourage radio to do its best possible job on the radio, but we can't guarantee anything. So when you say, what do I think will happen? I think there are possibilities. I think that radio will either go through a renaissance and new money will come in, the cost of stations will come down, there'll be more owners of stations than there are now, so more voices, more points of view, fresh capital, and a new invigoration of the medium, or it will die. It'll just fade out over the next 5 or 10 years, and that'll be the end of radio as we knew it in the 20th century.
Well, I certainly hope it's the first option that you view as a possibility. Lastly, Michael, when I was 14 years old and anxious to get into radio, I wrote to you asking if you had any advice on honing one's craft or succeeding in the talk radio business. Many, many years later, I'll ask you the same question. Any advice for somebody on it from 1 to 4 a.m. on Saturday mornings like me?
I think you just have to bring something to the radio that people would want to hear. One of the things that's good about having been a fan is you know what it is you want. So think about the listener. Think about what they need. Bring something of yourself and your resources to the radio that is valuable to somebody else to listen to, and you will succeed.
Michael Harrison of Talkers Magazine. You can check Talkers Magazine out at talkers.com. Hey, Michael, thank you so much. It really has just been a pleasure.
Thank you, Frank. It was great talking to you. Thank you.